You're listening to Unceded Airwaves by the Indigenous Collective at CITR 101.9 FM.
We haven't even been dangerous, but we on the rise. You haven't even seen nothing yet. Turn it up where you're up.
We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous, us, but we can be dangerous.
Us, but we can be dangerous. We ain't not dangerous. Us, but we can be dangerous.
We are so indigenous. Us, fully beat is glorious. Us, grand entry is glorious. Us, drumming is victorious. Us, no one can stop us, nah.
Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. All right, today's show intro was by JB, the First Lady. Unceded Airwaves is broadcasting every week from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Waiwa Amaganthak, Lisa Gerbov, Diwayu, Lakwalams, Willowatku, Lachain, Prince Rupert, Diwilmanya, Pa'asu, Tsamis, Vancouver, Diwildzogu, Toyaksit Noon, Musqueam, Toyaksit Noon, Squamish, Distoyaksin, Tsleil-Waututh. Unceded Airwaves amoksim, Luam Godu, Gat will goi dixisim. My name is Lisa Gerbov, Tsimsianu, I am Tsimshian, and I come from the coastal-speaking Tsimalik people from, we are from inside the Skeena River. That's what Tsimshian translates to, fun fact. I'm from Loch Wallams, but I grew up in Prince Rupert in the Tsimshian territory, and I acknowledge that I am an uninvited guest on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. In Toyaksin to the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people who host us today on their territory. And we have a very busy day today for Season 2, Episode 23 of Unceded Airwaves, so maybe we'll start off by getting the Indigenous Collective to introduce themselves.
Wache, Josh Kioki, Nina Chinachasin, Arawapskatindano. My name is Josh Kioki, I'm from Arawapskat. And I'm very glad to be with you all today.
Thanks for being here.
And my name is Nikita Day. I am from the Tahltan Nation, from Telegraph Creek, to be more specific. And I need to learn how to do an intro in Tahltan.
And we were just talking about how that can be a little bit difficult because...
Yeah, I was having some trouble finding readily available resources, so hopefully...
You can find some.
Yeah, hopefully that'll become available soon.
I feel like that's really difficult with Indigenous languages in general because they're generally oral languages.
Yes,
and so
for
to
sure.
Put them into writing is one task, but then to also find what has been already turned into literature is also difficult too. So maybe we'll just start off the show by doing our intention for the day.
So we are the Indigenous Radio Collective, and every week we discuss Indigenous issues, current events, and entertainment. And we're a collective of Indigenous and non-Indigenous students who use this weekly airtime for our own self-representation.
And what we do here is we strive to center Indigenous voices on our show and build narratives that empower Indigenous people, and self-representation in media is something that Indigenous people do not always have access to. So that's what we're doing here on Unceded Airwaves. We're providing that opportunity.
The show gives us the opportunity to share and define who we are as Indigenous people. Indigenous cultures are incredibly diverse, and the nuances of our diversity are not always represented in mainstream broadcast media.
And it can be difficult to find positive Indigenous role models in popular media, so that's what this show is doing. We're offering an opportunity to highlight some influential Indigenous people.
Yeah, and if you can relate to the goals of the show and you're wondering how you can get involved, please just reach out to us. You can always find us on our social media. We have Facebook, Twitter, if you have a voice for decolonization, then we want to hear from you.
Everyone is welcome. There is no experience necessary whatsoever. Our weekly meeting is at Wednesday at 4 p.m. at CITR, the lower level of the Nest. If you want to get involved, but you don't want to be on air, there are plenty of other ways to participate.
And you can also follow Unceded Airwaves on Facebook and Twitter. And if you're aware of a great Indigenous artist, feel free to send us a tweet using the hashtag Unceded Music, or you can send us a Facebook message at Unceded Airwaves, and we will do our best to get it on the air. And if we play a song that you send us, we will give you a shout out on the show.
And by the way, yesterday on Facebook, we had someone reaching out to us and was really excited about all the music that we've been playing on the show lately. And I think the comment was that they were going to go through all the episodes since episode one of Unceded Airwaves and check out the track listing. So I think that's pretty cool.
That's a dedicated listener right there.
All the work that we've done to find awesome Indigenous music is actually paying off because people are listening to us.
Good work, everyone. Let's toot our own horn here. But we are always looking to hear from our listeners about what you're up to. So let us know about other Indigenous music artists, stories that you might want to pitch us, just what events you're attending right now or you're promoting. We'll try to link in our podcast notes that whatever it is that you're wanting to share with us. We'll have our week Unceded events listing weekly to share a little bit later in the show.
Which is another great way that we are able to connect the show to the greater community as well. I think that the Unceded events listing is something that's really, really unique to our show. But shout outs to those occupying their territories as we do every week. Maddie Lee of the Gitxsan Nation, the Unist'ot'en of the Wet'suwet'en peoples, those occupying Lilu Island in the Tsimshian territory, the Chilcotin Nation who are battling Taseko mines in the legal system. We also have the Nacho Nyack'dun, Trondek Gwech'in, Tlet Gwech'in, and Vundit Gwech'in peoples who are fighting to protect the Peel watershed. And Carly Baker, who's an Indigenous collective member here on the show, is very involved and has been doing a lot of research on that. And so she sent some resources that I can share with you on our Unceded Airwaves Facebook page. So yeah, you can find all those links there. And we'll also share it on our Twitter page as well. So today we have a really awesome show coming up on Wednesday on April 1st. They are raising the pole of reconciliation.
Yeah, it's actually a Saturday.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, Saturday. Okay, perfect.
Yeah. So you'll probably have the time
Why
off.
Why do I think Wednesday?
Don't know.
Okay. Yeah, April Fool's. It's Saturday. Someone fooled me early. But yeah, Saturday it's happening at 1 o'clock, correct?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so the pole raising is happening on the UBC campus. Everyone is welcome to attend that. And so in preparation of the pole raising, Josh, you did an interview with Jim Hart a couple months ago.
Yeah, in November of last year, we had the chance to speak with him when he was out here carving the reconciliation pole. So he was talking a lot about the process but also about what he wanted to bring, what stories he wanted to tell about reconciliation that weren't necessarily being addressed the national approach to reconciliation is kind of how he put it. There are a lot of other things that interview touched on, like where do you get a giant tree? I think the pole going up is like 55 feet tall.
Okay.
It's pretty big. So where do you get a tree like that to turn into art? And he went into that. We got a segment that of him talking about that part of his art practice.
Excellent. So that's going to come up in the second half of the show. And before then, we're gonna have an interview with the guys from Jason Camp and the Posers, who are also from Haida Gwaii. They're a Haida punk rock band. And so we're going to be interviewing them in a few minutes here. But to start off, I think to get us ready in the punk rock mood, we have a Tsimshian artist, or I guess another duo, that go by Gibao, which is Somalic for wolf. And this song is from the album Ancestral War Hymns. And I'm pretty sure that this is the first album recorded in Somalic. Just saying. Like, until I'm proven otherwise, I'm pretty sure it's the first album that was recorded in Somalic. And the way that the music was described to me from Spencer Greening was that this music was very much like, rah, because it's basically just, it's metal.
It's very high energy.
Somalic metal. I'm stoked for it. So the song is called Disk, and yeah, we're just going to play it for you.
I was like, I got this fine, you know? Don't even worry about it, man.
Leave me alone.
You heard Gibao with Disc from the album Ancestral War Hymns. That was a Somalic metal song. I'm pretty sure that comes from the first album ever recorded in Somalic, which I'm pretty stoked about. From where I am, those guys are from the Gitgat Nation, who are from Hartley Bay within the greater Tsimshian territory. And so next up, we wanted to chat with the guys from Jason Camp and the Posers. In studio, we have with us James McGuire, who is visiting from Haida Gwaii.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm awesome. I'm having a fun time hanging around in this traffic.
Yeah.
I mean, city.
Yeah, exactly. Things get a little bit backed up.
Yeah.
So, where are you? Tell us about yourself.
All right. Well, I'm James McGuire from, I'm proud Haida. Skon Kwa Agong is my Haida name. I'm from the Skidans Ravens. I'm also part of the lead singer, guitar player, in Jason Camp and the Posers. We've started a Haida Gwaii Radio Society initiative where we're doing what you guys are doing here in a smaller scale, it seems like. Our band's also part of a music collective called the Gingang Klatilgad. Graham could probably get the better pronunciation. We're having a hard time getting the pronunciation down.
And we have Graham Richard on the line right now, who's calling us from Haida Gwaii.
Hello there.
How are you doing?
I'm doing so good, yeah.
Excellent.
So good. Yeah, I'm not in Vancouver, so it's a good day.
Are you going to be here for the pole raising?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I'm going to come down for that, but I'm going to head straight back here right after it's done.
Excellent. Well, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Oh, my name's Graham. I had a nickname's Jostu. I mean, Scruffy Head, and I'm the drummer for Jason Camp and the Posers. And as long as James introduces clan, I'm from Keanu's Lee Clan. So that's another Raven clan from the Haida Nation. Yeah. That's me.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for making the time to join us today.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So let's maybe talk about Jason Camp and the Posers first. What has it been like starting a band on Haida Gwaii, especially a punk rock band?
Well, for us, I think it's more us just like two like best friends hanging out all the time. So it was really, I mean, we both love music so much. It was really not really much of a stretch to just start playing music together.
Yeah, we were like hanging out and there was instruments around and, you know, so we started hacking away at them and that's kind of how that started, you know. It wasn't really like, let's be in a band or whatever. It was more just kind of, we were hanging out.
Everything new that comes our way is kind of like a surprise. I'm like, oh, well, I guess we're doing this now, eh?
Yeah. So a lot of the songs are written too. Like we just find a little groove and you're like, oh, that kind of works. That's a nice little riff. And then you know, after that, it's kind of a song, you know. So it wasn't, you know. It's almost kind of an indeliberate process, really. Yeah.
And with your EP that you have out, that's available on your Bandcamp page. It actually says that you recorded the EP in the living room of Dub Jackson's house.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Is there a story behind that?
Well, the Dub Jackson band is our other half of music on Haida Gwaii, of the punk rock scene, and the Gingang Klatilgad.
Do you guys have like territories? Is like someone covering the south, someone's covering the north?
No, we're both from the south end. They're from Dodging Geats. We're from Skidigit.
Oh, okay.
They're a band of people that live in Haida Gwaii and they play like swing punk and yada yada yada. It's good. It's really good music. Got a little bit whiny, we like to say though.
Yeah, a little whiny, but they're very good.
Yeah, very good. And so Dub Jackson is the front man of this band, and we had been playing shows together for like a year. And you know, you want to have people listen to your music when you're not playing shows. So we just kind of put ourselves into this. We just threw ourselves into it and soundproofed his room with foamies and thrift store blankets and
mattresses.
Set up the drums right in the living room. The amps in another room. We mic'd them and we recorded two EPs. Their EP Summer is available on Bandcamp also, and our EP Neat Times and Family Values.
Excellent. Well, we'll have to share links to both of these. Actually, we've already shared Jason Camp and the Posers on Twitter and on Facebook under the hashtag Unseated Music if you want to check that out. But we'll also have to find, you'll have to send us the link to
Dub Jackson's. Yeah, for sure. Dub Jackson's, they're fun. And if you're going to come to Haida Gwaii for things like the Edge of the World, or they'll be touring with us, I think, in July. We're working on it.
Excellent.
Edge of the World is awesome. Yeah, you can, so many people there just free as can be, doing the hippie dance in the sun. It's awesome. Yeah, yeah, it's great.
Right on
stuff.
The river. It's a
yeah. They'll do that. We played this year too, and this last year, and yeah, we were playing, smashing the drums, hacking away at the guitar, and people were still doing the hippie dance. It was awesome.
I've been to Edge of the World 2 or 3 times now, and every time I'm just like, every time you Graham are on stage, I'm always just rooting for star commentary and space commentary. That's my favorite. That's the highlight of Edge of the World for me.
Graham's space commentary is becoming its own thing. Often do it.
Like that could be an entire show.
He's the height of Neil deGrasse Tyson, I think. At this well, point, with less scientific background.
It's just easy fodder for the microphone because, you know, space is so huge. There's so much to talk about.
Yeah, for sure.
Like what?
Oh, yeah, no, can you throw us a space fact right now?
Well, you know, obviously the big story these days is the 7 exoplanets that were discovered just recently, and they're only 39.5 light years away, so they're kind of within reach of human exploration, at least looking into the next couple centuries. You know, we might be able to send a probe out there. Obviously, that's probably the biggest thing in the news these days. Yeah,
I've been starting to learn Smalyach, and one of the words that I've learned is Bicbeals, which means stars, plural. Oh, yeah. Cool. And there's actually, if you look into like the ways that Tsimshian people have related to the cosmos, there's actually quite a few words in Smalyach for different planets and different constellations and things like that. So I've started doing that kind of research, which is another level.
A lot of other nations are very fortunate to have had a lot more of their astrology carefully preserved throughout the generations. A lot of that knowledge in Haida Gwaii, I understand, was considered a lot more sacred and a lot more, occult and secret. So a lot of that didn't actually survive the last 150 years of genocidal policies. You know, so I'm glad to hear that you're able to learn all about that. Yeah.
From what resources we have.
Yeah. From what you have. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. So what is the Haida Gwaii Radio Society then you guys have started?
Yeah, it started out in a shed it's a secret location. I can't tell you the location of the shed. But a group of us just like started to play with the idea. We've never had community radio on Haida Gwaii. And so we started just kind of broadcasting fun stuff where we're just playing music for the 4 people that are listening, and it really caught wind. I think it started with our Christmas special. Remember that one, Graham?
Oh yeah, that was brilliant. Yeah, man, that was hilarious.
We put a 2-hour Christmas special out, and it was heavily downloaded. I mean, as far as things in Haida Gwaii go.
Yeah, you guys should post a link.
The Christmas send us special. All the links.
Yeah, we'll do our best. I think. And then from there. We have this annual basketball tournament called the Haida Gwaii Clan Tournament, where each clan, you know, I'm Skidans Raven, we put together a basketball team from clan members only, and they go up against each other. And basketball is basically life in the village as far as sport goes. That and softball in the summer, and I kind of brought it up with the other people in the radio society that, you know, if we want to really come out with a bang, let's do a broadcast, a 2-day broadcast of the entire tournament. And I set up a makeshift radio booth in the corner of the George Brown Rec Center in Skidigat. And just kind of, we just went live, and I just taught myself how to broadcast a sports tournament on the fly, and just got other basketball players that weren't playing to come up and do play-by-play with me. It was
That's
really fun,
amazing.
And it like you could watch the numbers. I mean, you could kind of see your listener numbers online, and you could watch the numbers grow to like, and it placed it all over the world. People are listening, like people are tuning in Denmark. Anybody that has a connection with Haida Gwaii, you've been there. I mean, you go and you go, oh, like you just want to grasp everything that comes out of Haida Gwaii,
and you just want to know what's happening.
Yeah, what's happening,
and there's not a lot of ways to connect because media is fairly limited.
Yeah.
And so this offers that service where people can connect.
Exactly. And so through HaidaGwaiiRadio.org, they were just listening to our broadcast. And it was fun, and it started a whole thing. And now we've built a shed in a secret location. And we call it a slogan right now, tentatively, is Radio Occasionally. because when you're looking at a 24/7 schedule, it's very tough to fill it. But we're
We got real lives to live, you know.
We
can't be a full-time radio broadcast.
Yeah, everybody's spread really thin in Haida Gwaii, and have somebody sitting there broadcasting every single week.
We should definitely get some kind of professionals up to Haida Gwaii to teach us a thing or two, though, you know.
Yeah, we should.
I'd be down. I want to come check out this secret location.
Oh, absolutely. You could be a guest on my show Sunday nights at 8 p.m.
Sure, as long as I can choose the playlist.
That's the point. Come in and tell me the music that influences you, and we'll play it and talk about it. Graham was my guest last week. So
I actually listened to that broadcast last night. You guys have a pretty good Facebook presence where you're posting.
Yeah, we tell
everything.
You when it's going to be on the stream, because you can't just tune in, and we don't have enough content yet to fill up a 24/7 clock. So,
well, before we get talking about the Independent Music and Arts Cooperative, Gingangxatilgad.
She did pretty good, hey, Graham?
No, that was pretty all right.
I was practicing a few times before we started.
Awesome.
But before we start talking about that, do you want to play a song from Jason Camp and the Posers?
Should I play one in studio? You want to play one of mine off the
In
EP?
Studio would be great, because we have a song lined up after that.
I was going to play Gotta Get Back to Haida Gwaii or something like that.
All right.
I don't know. Let's see, I got kind of a sore throat. Oh, that sounds all right, hey?
Sounds beautiful.
Our can is digging deep like a grave from our canoes. We take that boat for all that it's worth, and send those bodies floating on one last time before I die. Man, I gotta get back to Haida Gwaii. Hey, yo, Holly Moe, my yo. Hey, yo. I was a fisherman before the white man came. I took to pelting with the white man's trade. Those riches took me away from my home. The woman I love, she needed gold. One last time before I die. Man, I gotta get back to Haida Gwaii. Hey, oh, Holly Moe, my yo. Hey. So I paddle away from that forsaken wreck. My cannon split that haul to heck. I see her hair on every wave, and this could be my final day. One last time before I die. Man, I gotta get back to Haida Gwaii. Hey, yo, Holly Moe, my yo. Yo, Holly Moe, my yo. One last time before I die, man, I gotta get back to Haida Gwaii. Whew. That's one of our new ones.
Yeah, it's a modern raiding story.
Yeah.
Is that indicative of something that it's you kind of get back?
It's a story. I mean, an undertold story in the history of indigenous people is when the indigenous people were beating these white invaders in wars and raiding their ships and taking their loot. And it's a proud story for a lot of chiefs and a lot of clans there's a lot of hide canoes that would go out, and these clans amongst the chief's loot, there'd always be, you'd see sometimes cannons after white contact and during the sea otter hunt, because they had looted these ships and taken things, well, sometimes through trade, but a lot of them, I think there was 4 ships around Haida Gwaii that got sunk and looted.
Yeah.
And I thought that what that might have been like for somebody that was of the generation of first contact leading to maybe the sea otter hunt, that would have left his life as a fisherman for the maybe colonial riches.
Yeah, the ancestors did that classic move where you leave one last dude to go back and tell everybody.
Yeah,
that was a classic. You know, they took the Susan, when they took the Susan Sturgis too. There's a really beautiful shot of Monster House in Kau on the north end from a long time ago, and anthropologists were like, "Where the heck did they get all this furniture?" Well, it's all the captain's furniture from the Susan Sturgis.
Yeah, it's. I think it's.
Took it all, and this beautiful, huge longhouse is just loaded with classic Victorian, beautiful furniture.
I mean, you know, the thousands and thousands of Haidas that died during that time. There's at least a little bit of proud stories that can come out of it.
Well, thank you for sharing. And so we just have a few minutes left. Can you tell us a bit about Gingang Hlatlgod?
Yeah, Graham, do you want to start with your pronunciation of it?
Gingang
Hlatlgod. It's okay.
I thought I had it that time.
Even I have a hard time with Haida pronunciation still. So music on Haida Gwaii, there's a hotbed. It's a hotbed of talented musicians and artists, and you know, but there isn't really a venue for musicians to get anywhere past playing maybe the Legion or recording stuff, or I guess we have the Edge of the World Festival, but it came out of necessity of the two bands working together, and we wanted to go further. We wanted to go touring. We wanted to have an EP that came out. We wanted to maybe film some music videos, and
that's why the name means "do it yourself." There's no other way to do it in Haida Gwaii. We just had to do everything yourself. So
you're always that. If you think, hey, something should, we have the attitude when you think, hey, you know what Haida Gwaii needs? He's like, no, you have to do it. You're that person. It's not like talking to like, well, Haida Gwaii, it's not going to happen unless you do it. So, yeah. I mean, it became the two bands or the founding members. And we pooled a lot of resources to promote shows, and you know, we started screen printing our own merch, and we want to bring other Haida Gwaii artists in to screen print some of their merch and get their names and build a studio and record more people and film
really stuff. Sharing resources.
Yeah. I think that in music, one thing I noticed here is in music industry or the music scene in Vancouver, the community isn't there. I was at a coffee house the other day, and I played the coffee house. But in our coffee house, everybody sits down, and we share songs. Hey, somebody comes and sings a song, and then they sit back down, and they listen to the next person sing a song. But here, I was at a coffee house. I won't name it because I don't want to trash everybody. And I noticed it's like the guy, so they're coming in just to sing for themselves. Hey, they sit down. When they go up, they sing, and then they go pack up their stuff and leave. And it's, I think the
so self-righteous, yeah, so self-consumed.
I know, yeah. And it's like, well, you could have just done that at home, right? Like,
what a big jerk.
Well, it's not just one person, Graham. It was a lot of people.
Oh, geez. Well, you know,
I went on last, and I sang to 5 people, and I just this, and it was there was probably 50, 60 people in there to start, and I thought that was interesting, and I thought, you know, I think music. The way that it grows in a community is the community, is sharing, is working together. And I think of all big music scenes that blew up, they became a community first, and then they pushed themselves.
You know, yeah, in a smaller community like Haida Gwaii, people hold you to account. So if you behave if you treat people badly and you're being selfish like that and just kind of real self-consumed, just real concerned with your own performance and then going home, people are going to talk about it. And you get punished for it, I guess, in a larger community like Vancouver where, you know.
Yeah, I guess.
You can kind of get away with it. No one's gonna call you on your on
maybe
your
I'll
crap.
Go back and get on earlier and just preach to them.
When you got the crowd.
Yeah.
Just go up with the Holy Bible and read from it.
We have
from
a song
Prophet
here.
James, the book of Prophet James.
Well, we have a song here that we want to play and share with our listeners. That is a Jason Camp and the Posers song. Graham, how do you feel about the song I'm All Right?
Oh, man, it's such a beautiful tune, you know.
I love how it starts.
It's a song about being perfectly okay, you know, and everything's fine. Well, everything's just fine.
Everything's falling apart around you, you know. Friends are dying. You're stuck in a trailer. Your dog pisses all over the floor. But you're still alive and breathing, right?
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us, James and Graham, from Jason Camp and the Posers. And I'm really excited to hear about all the other initiatives that you have happening on Haida Gwaii. And I'm excited to come visit and check out the broadcasting setup you guys have.
Catch us on tour. It looks like we're going to be touring around BC for the month of July and then end up back on Haida Gwaii for the Edge of the World Festival. And then maybe a couple other festivals after that. But
are you traveling? Are you doing like the northern circuit, like Kispiox?
Yeah, we want to do northern. We want to do northern communities, then through the interior, and then stop in Vancouver, and then go through the island, and then up the north island. We want to do a big circle.
Awesome.
So that's what we're gonna try and do, and catch us there. Catch us at the Edge of the World. Check out other Haida Gwaii musicians like Jordan Stewart Burton at HG Hip Hop on SoundCloud, Dub Jackson Band, Chinna Hare. Who else, Graham?
Jace El Nino. Still has the Haida Hippie page.
The Haida Hippies.
And they got some rad music videos, too.
Yeah, Pipe Dreams, Pipe Dreams.
Yeah, Pipe Dreams. Yeah, we just celebrated our victory over Enbridge, Northern Gateway Pipeline, last night. Yeah. Or two nights ago.
And there's lots of other fights around BC that these communities need your help. So I'm wearing a no LNG right now. Patronus don't own us, so there you go. Get out and support your Indigenous initiatives.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And we're going to play the song I'm All Right from the album Neat Times and Family Values, recorded in Dub Jackson's living room.
When I woke up this morning, I got an echo from me. When I double watch it, it's all over me. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm all right. Dreams of a telephone back. But that's
drop your nose and shut off your damn fucking face. See what I can do about joining you tonight. I'm alright.
Multiple time Juno Award winner Alex Cuba releases his sixth studio album, Lo Unico Constante, The One Constant, on April 7th. The One Constant draws from some of Alex's earliest influences from his childhood in Cuba. Catch him on tour this fall. The One Constant is available online and in stores April 7th. Visit alexcuba.com for more information.
Hey, did you know?
More than 4,500 Canadians are waiting for an organ transplant right now.
Right now. 4,500.
People are dying.
And you could save a life. 90% of Canadians say they're willing to donate their organs.
But only a few are registered.
So what are you waiting for? Get registered.
It's easy and it's free.
Leave a legacy. Be a hero.
Save a life.
Find out how to register today. Go to kidney.ca.
You heard Jason Camp and the Posers with I'm All Right from their EP Neat Times and Family Values. We had Jason in studio with us today.
Jason Camp and the Posers, comprised James and
Graham. McGuire.
That's the fun.
And Graham Richard.
I'm sorry.
It's all good. And we also have a new show sponsor, which we are very thankful for. We have NORAD Electric sponsoring Unseated Airwaves. And this is a Taltan business out of Nikita's territory. Nikita, you want to explain the connection?
Oh, yeah. So the company is owned by my dad.
And we're so thankful to your dad for sponsoring our show.
Yes, I'm also very thankful.
And so what they do is, I love this because it's an owned and operated Taltan company that is sponsoring us. So Norman Day is the owner and the operator, and they do commercial, industrial, residential, electrical work. A lot of it's with the mining industry, but Norman's been involved in the electrical field for over 40 years, so very knowledgeable, and is very supportive of the show as well. So we're very grateful for our new sponsor, NORAD Electric. But coming up next, we have an interview that Josh did with Jim Hart about the Pole of Reconciliation. Can you tell us a bit about the interview, Josh?
Yep. So I spoke to Jim Hart last November, as we mentioned earlier in the show, and talked about a lot of things. Interview ran for about 50 minutes. So for a show that's an hour long, we broke it down into kind of two segments, one in which we were more talking about the ideas that went into the poll, like the symbolism, the concepts behind reconciliation that James was trying to represent with this poll. And then also just like this very interesting story about how to go about finding the right tree to make a giant piece of artwork out of.
The first step in carving a totem pole, which you don't really think about as being a major part of the process, but as Jim describes in this interview, it's a very important part of the process, and it's not something to be taken lightly. So maybe we'll just get into it with the interview that Josh did with Jim Hart.
Absolutely. Here's Jim Hart and I's conversation.
So the idea of the pole come up, and the idea of titling it Reconciliation. It's perfect. That's exactly what I want to do, right? So I started thinking about it and what it meant to me and all this stuff. And because there's reconciliation going on across the country, so there's many forms of it and different avenues or different approaches to it. And so I wanted to say what I knew about it. And I didn't want to start saying stuff I didn't really know about. And so I put it together. We found this tree. It took us over a year to find this tree. It's red cedar. It's over 800 years old. And this is actually the fourth attempt at finding the proper size. The first one I thought I had right off the bat because there was a what we call blowdowns at home, and the wind blew down this big tree. And we were jumping around on there, walking down the tree, and it was big, huge. And I thought it was the right one. And we finally got the end cut off and the top cut off, and we hauled it to our work site. And then we're working on the canoe and the longboat and the eagle, and I'm looking at this tree, you know, with the bark on and that, yet sitting there waiting, right? And then I start realizing the top is too small. It's not big enough. I wanted more volume on the top side so I could say what I wanted to say properly with good presence, you know. And so I start saying, okay, it's too small. That means now I have to go and find another one. So we went into this other area where the loggers were going into an area. So we're wandering around in the forest ahead of them, but it was on the road allowance. It just happened to be. So that tree looked really good. But it took like 3 or 4 months for those guys to get there and clear it, get the roads built, haul it out of there. And then I get it back down to where I'm working, and it was too small. The top was too small again, right? And it's like, ah. So we went and found another one up the inlet, and we dragged it down by water. And the guys come up, they put it on the beach, and they come up and they said, you better have a look at this. It doesn't look very good. I said, what? Yeah, it doesn't look very good. And I said, okay, I wandered down the beach there. And sure enough, it was scruffy looking and curved, and the top end was too small again. I was like, oh. It was under logs when I looked at it. It looked good laying there, but I guess parts were hidden from other logs sitting on it. And so I went off and we looked for this one, and it was over a year before we found this guy. And we finally found it. You know, I tell everybody I met a lot of big cedars out there, and I know them by name now. I hugged a lot of cedars. And literally that's what you do, you know, you look at these cedars and check them out. And so we found this one, and it was in an area where there were supposed to be three other monumental trees, and we went there because of that. They're mapping them now at home, all the big trees, and they put them down on maps and where they are and stuff. And all three of them were too small. They were just small, nice trees, but they're too small. 300 years from now, they'd be nice and big, you know. But right now, they're too small for what I wanted, that's for sure. But we're standing there. I was kind of disappointed that, oh, no. And then I'm looking across the road, and there's another, you know, it's all. They had logged off the area in the earlier days, but this is one of the sections they left. You know, they leave bunches of trees when they're logging. They don't cut. They'll cut a hell of a lot down, just clear cut, but then they'll leave a patch. And then they'll leave another patch, you know, and stuff like that. And so this one was across the road. No, another one was there across the road, and it would look perfect, man. It was beautiful. So we had to go down this deep gully and up the other side, and then it leveled off sort of, and we went to the tree. It was beautiful on the side we seen from the road. And then I looked at the other half, and it was gone. The whole other half was rotted off. It was amazing. It was big, real big, you know, make a good totem, maybe a smaller totem. Anyway, so I'm standing there kind of disappointed, and I'm looking down along the road, sort of down the trees, and there's another big guy in there behind another big tree, but this one was a little smaller than that one. So I said, I'm going to go check that one out. And that was this one. And so I circled it, you know, I went up to it, and oh, it looks really good. I'm hollering to my son and my wife there. Look, this one looks really good. So we walked around, and you know, the ground's uneven and stuff. We're climbing around the tree, and it looks good. The backside was okay. I said, and so I went and reported in. I said, I think I got one. Impossible. I went back with another fellow who's got the say on the stuff. Like, he has to work with the logging companies. When we want a log like this, they have to go and check in. And ended up being on private land, so I meant the they owned it. And, you know, I mean, on paper they own it. We own it. We own the whole Dabbering Shoah. That's our lands, right? And the unceded territories of our country, but we're still fighting with all that stuff. And, but they were good. They donated the log to me, the tree, in the sense of they cut it down. The two fallers, they felled the tree, and then they hauled it out of there with a big machine. So they donated all that time and all the machinery, and there's one, two, three, four, five guys to move this. So they started at 8 in the morning. We showed up at 7:30, and the faller started at 8, and then by 1:30 they're hauling it out of that area. But it took all that time, you know, falling, it's the easy part. And he clipped it off. And anyway, we're watching the faller start his undercuts, and we're standing beside him taking pictures watching. And then he starts the back cut, and we're going to clear out of there because, you know, I guess we could have stayed close by, but we wanted to watch it from a distance. So we went across the road and up the hillside there, and we're watching it, we're filming it. And it starts coming down, you can see it coming down. And it falls, and we're pretty close to the road. We're lucky, because the top side of the tree hit the road, and as soon as it hit the road, it shattered just like glass. They like, and branches and pieces flying all over the place. And the foreman and his chokerman standing there real quiet, and they're right beside me, right? And I'm looking at them, and I said, gee, this is not a good sign. You know, so I, and then they started farting. The faller jumped up on the tree, and he was measuring it out. He had his tape on there, and he was wandering down the tree. He said, oh, how long did you want it? And I said, 68 feet. I said, I got 74. I'll cut it off at 74. How does that sound? I said, that sounds perfect. So he cuts it off, and it, so it was below the shatter, because it shatter, once things shatter, they'll crack down in. And so we cut past that, so it was good. So they worked it out of the woods. So the end was right there at the roadside, right? Just back in a bit. And they picked it up with this huge machine, one of those old dinosaurs. It's amazing, like a Fred Flintstone type of tool, you know. It's really cool. It's this big, big machine, and then it's got this pole sticking out, and then that's got the cable coming down there with this big hook on there, like the pinchers. And they learn, the guys swing it around so they can swing it out further, grab, you know, and they get really good at that. They can, so it's not just up and down, and they actually turn it to swing it out. And so they started lifting it to see how heavy it was, and they couldn't lift it, just went end for end sort of. So they lifted the one end, and they started swinging it back and forth to start getting the motion then to start pulling it. Then the cable breaks, and then they're a big cable. They broke three times. Well, there is. It was really fun to watch them go to work. Like, it broke, so the guy jumps out of the machine. The guys get down there, and they sever it off somehow. They cut the cable real quick. They had sledgehammers, and they got this tool that just cuts through the cable. They start re-splicing it into a, with the eye in there and re-splicing it, and within half an hour, 20 minutes, we're back at it again, right? Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun to watch these guys go to work like that, and that's... They got these big machines yet because there is big trees, and they need those big big machines to move them.
Sir, does this come from Haida Gwaii?
Mm-hmm.
This tree?
Yeah, it's back in, way back in the woods there. And then they hauled it out. And then they tell you, you got to have a big machine. First off, you got to have a road to this place to, you know, to get a monumental. Then you got to have the machines to be able to move them. And then at the other end, when they're going to drop it off, you got to have big machines at that end to be able to handle it too, right? So it's not a simple task of these things just showing up, you know, and you want one. And it doesn't work like that.
Starts off with the wave coming through your stereo. Your body feels the groove and your feet move across the floor. Some days they will be tough and they just won't understand. You have it in yourself to see the ways in which they can't. Swaying side to side, moving left to right, up and down, you are spectacular. Life has its dips and dives, we're lost in the cries. Hit the sounds, let us remember. There comes a time when I hear.
won't fail us now. Until that moment comes, like you've been hoping, I know we'll keep dancing on.
That is a sigh of relief, because Fun Drive 2017 is officially over. To everyone who donated their time, energy, money, forgot to donate now but will donate online at citr.ca, couldn't donate this year but will donate in the future, and to our community as a whole, CITR and Discorder want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just like thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for trusting us with your money, and we promise to make good use of it.
Muchas gracias. Gracias, gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Genre infiniment.
Thank you, everybody. That was great.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
You heard Wolf Saga with Keep Dancing on CITR 101.9 FM. This is Unceded Airwaves broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded lands of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. And before that song, you heard an interview with Josh Keoki speaking to Jim Hart about the Pole of Reconciliation. We'll post a link to this podcast on our Facebook page after the show for you to check out. And maybe we'll link the first segment that we had aired back in November, which was the more about the context of the symbolism behind the pole, if you want to get caught up on that before Saturday's event. We've also shared the event listing for the pole raising under the Unseated Events hashtag on our Facebook and Twitter pages. And moving into our Unseated Events listings, we did something on Saturday.
Yeah, so this Saturday, a few of us from the
last Saturday.
Oh, I guess, yeah. I guess
are you
it's
predicting
last
the
Saturday
future?
Now.
Yeah, last Saturday.
A few of us from the collective went to, we actually did a live broadcast of the First Nations Study Student Association's third annual Nahia Pasqua Itzamoan Powwow here at UBC. And we also turned that into a podcast, so you can check that out. And just to provide a little bit of context on what a powwow actually is, it is a social gathering held by many different Indigenous communities. And it's a way of meeting together to join in dancing, singing, and also just visiting with friends and family. And the word itself is actually derived from the Algonquin word, powwow, which means spiritual leader. And basically, powwows promote cultural pride, respect, and health for young and old in an inclusive setting. And it serves a really important role in Indigenous people's lives as a form to celebrate cultural heritage while also serving as a site for some cross-cultural sharing with some of the non-Indigenous attendees and participants as well.
And what did you think of the whole experience?
I had a great time. It was amazing.
First live broadcast on location. That was pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. At the beginning was a bit shaky for me, but then we really got into the swing of things.
And yeah, smoothing out those technical difficulties.
Yeah, and definitely. And then just got to enjoy some of the dancing.
Really appreciate Josh doing some troubleshooting for that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably why we had a few technical difficulties. But
what was one of the highlights for you guys about the powwow?
I had a good piece of fry bread.
Yeah,
that was real good.
For me, it was just the dancing, honestly.
Yeah,
I was saying a lot. Oh, also seeing the different regalia. I talked about that a lot on the live broadcast, but it just kind of blew me away.
And I love just being able to sit there and listen and observe and just observe the powwow culture, because I'm not from powwow culture, and it was the first powwow that I'd been to, and so I really appreciated that opportunity.
I'm also not from powwow culture as well, so it was really cool to see that.
Yeah, and so I guess moving on with our unceded events listings, tomorrow we have an event that is hosted by 350 Vancouver and organized by Indigenous Collective member Maya Wickler. That is going to be the Films for Justice series. This is their second film screening in the series, More Than Honey and Local Honey Tasting. And so this is going to be talking about honeybees, the crisis of them disappearing. And so this is going to be a film that's going to go into that. If you're interested in food sovereignty, it's a very important issue. That's going to be held at 128 West Hastings Street in Vancouver. Well, we've already posted a link to that on our Facebook page. So big thanks to James McGuire and Graham Richard for joining us on the phone and in studio, coming to us from Haida Gwaii. Thank you to Jim Hart for sharing your words with us about the Pole of Reconciliation. Thanks, Josh, for board hopping today, and Nikita for co-hosting as well. My name is Lisa Gerbov. This is Unceded Airwaves on CITR 101.9 FM. And to finish off the show, we have Leanne Beta Samosak Simpson before the next show comes on. That is Synchronicity with Marie coming up in just a few.
Asha, they stole you with the precious things. Remember, under your always light. Asha, they stole you with the precious things. Remember, under your always light.